You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, praise the Lord, men, women of God. We thank God for you listening in. This is Kingdom Sounds, Kingdom Sounds, where we are believing God and standing on His Word. And we just thank God for you. Just listening in and just supporting the program. I'm Thomas Robinson. I have an awesome guest with me, Pastor Ray Lyons of Pillar of Hope Academy. Him and his wife are principals of a school, I think kindergarten through 12th grade here in the wonderful city of Cocoa, Florida. They're also pastoring a church, doing a great job. We thank God for him, and he's here in the house. You might want to tag somebody and tell him we have been talking about single people wanting to get married. I just believe that God wants people to be married this year, and sometimes you feel like you've been waiting on God, but I believe that God has been waiting on you. Come on, you to get some knowledge.
Amen.
You to get some understanding. You to get some wisdom. You to get some sense.
Amen.
you to get bold and brass enough to ask the right questions. Come on, not just be gullible and fall head over heel in love with any and everybody. You know, I want a mon. Just give me a mon, the player mon. Come on, the mon with no job.
Right.
The mon that, you know, is a whoremonger mon. Just give me a mon, you know. And so, you know, and vice versa. Vice versa. You know, because guess what? You know, we won't, you know, when you go to get hired by a company, marriage is important.
Absolutely.
When you go to get hired by a company, come on, they ask questions. Oh, glory to God. As a matter of fact, they've gotten smarter now because they will go to your social media page, come on, and the sites. And,
absolutely.
And because that's telling the real person. And sometimes, you know, you can be wise about asking questions. You don't have to sit down in one session and make like it's a, like you're a drill instructor. Well, what do you do? It says, you know, but you could, you know, slowly, you know, ask questions before you rush into things. A lot of times we're rushing into things because we're caught up at the outward appearance. You know,
absolutely.
Come on, you know, me and Pastor Ray, we handsome looking guys, but we, you know, nah, just,
no, that's true. Go ahead.
All right, keep right, better than the quiet. A little older, a little gray, you know. But praise God. But let me say this here. Stop rushing into things. Get some wisdom. Find out what's inside of the person. Find out his heart. You know, praise God. Don't get so caught up at looking at, because marriage is a lifetime decision. Come
absolutely
on. And like I said, you know, when you look in the Bible, you'll see that God sent a raven to Elijah to minister. Thank you, Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, to minister unto him. He sent a raven. Come on. And the Bible says this raven provided meat and bread, glory to God. And so, you know, sometimes we get caught up at, you know, who is, you know, we get caught up at looking at the outside instead of looking at what's causing the person to be a blessing, or that's going to be a blessing to your life. And so you got to be careful that you don't get caught up at looking past your raven. Come on, looking past.
Amen. That's
sometimes
good,
people
preacher.
Look past their ravens. God has sent people to be a blessing to you, and it's like, I don't want him. You know, okay, we might as well go there. Some people like bad guys. Some women like bad. They look, it's amazing. You know, when you see a doctor and they're with a bad guy, he comes in and he's looking, you know, okay, all right, I won't even go there. Or vice versa. You know, I've known people, it's like, okay, had to ask a brother recently, why are you clean cut? I mean, you know, hardworking person, don't smoke, don't drink, you know. Ask the person, why are you with this person? You know, walks around with a cigar in their mouth. Come on, wow. Cusser, all of this stuff, you know, a partier, you know, and the person is like, you know, I don't party. I'm like sitting there saying, why are you? And then I'm like, you're close to, we're about the same age. What would make you make a choice like this? Come on, desperados. We got desperados out there. You just want to be with a person that bad that you would make a choice? Come on, and then you're not happy because you're complaining about it the whole time. You're talking about, oh, man, she does this, she does that, man. She, you know, and so, my God, stop acting like you're a desperado. Get somewhere, sit quietly before God, and believe God and stand on God's word, and God know when to send the right person Amen. In your life. Go ahead, man. God,
no,
you know, it's dangerous to give a preacher a microphone. I wasn't planning on even.
I'm sitting here eating good off of you. I'm enjoying it. But you said something so powerful. But this goes back to our last broadcast when I shared that God requires you to love yourself first.
Mm.
And when you truly love yourself, there are certain things that you just will not put up with.
My God.
See, that's an issue, or that's a security issue right there. That's a I don't know who I am in God issue.
My God.
I believe God, but I'm just not sure in this area. Because if you know God and you know who you are in God, then you know certain things are just not for you.
That's right.
If you are God is a king and you're his son, you're a prince. Or God is a king and you're his daughter, you're a princess. Certain things are just not for you.
Yeah.
And so you won't allow yourself to be engaged in such a situation if you truly know who you are. Now, I'm not saying you won't have a lapse, because we saw that the prodigal son, he got to a point and he said, you know what, give me everything that belongs to me. And he went out into the world.
That's right.
He lost everything. And he was about to sit down there and have dinner with the pigs. But he remembered who he was.
I think he was having dinner with the pig.
and what did he say? He said when he came unto himself.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that my brother or my sister out there that have compromised and that are engaged in a relationship that is not what God has for them, I'm hoping that you will come to yourself.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? Let me return back to my father.
My God.
Hey, humble yourself and say, you know what, Lord, forgive me because I didn't listen. So, Pastor, because that's what takes place. We don't listen to God. And I taught a message a few years ago called God's Choice.
Mm.
God's choice
here we go.
Will never truly line up with your choice. See, if you understand what Christ did when he when Christ was in the earth realm, the first thing he did was meet the needs of the people that came across his path or that he was sent to. He met their needs first. So God is, see, many of us got these wants, but God said, you want her, she fine, but she can't cook.
Mm.
All she do is fuss and fight, and she ain't gonna work. And what you gonna do when that trophy wife start drooping and sagging in marriage?
Samson. I mean, when you said the trophy wife, I thought about Samson. Go ahead.
And so what ends up taking place is that she does nothing to, how would I say it? Because there are times that we come home and we just need encouragement from our wife or we need support.
Mm-hmm.
She's so wrapped up in her that there's nothing that she does to feed you. Feed your spirit, man. Feed the man that God has called you to be, because why? You made a decision of your flesh. And I say this all the time. God will never speak to your flesh. God always speaks to the one that is made in his image and in his likeness. I shared not too long ago that when I was going through something, and it was years ago in one of my marriages, I was going through hell, my first marriage. This is my last and final one. Yeah, because the first one didn't work out, but this one right here, this is the foundation. But I was going through pure hell.
Mm.
And a prophet was in town, and he began to speak and prophesy to me about the plan of God, the will of God for my life. And I'm sitting there looking like, man, you don't know what I'm going through. And God just taught me recently, he said, I was speaking to my son that's made in my image and likeness. Why? Because my emotions were all over the place, and my flesh was a mess. I was angry. I was hurt. I was going through something. But he spoke to my spirit man. And so this is why it's important that we establish a relationship with God so that we can receive God, receive from God in these times of turmoil and trouble. Because if you're desiring to get married, can't nobody push your buttons like the one that you're married to. Mm. And so you have to be grounded and rooted in God to keep you from walking away, to keep you from going to make a mistake that's going to cost you in the end, to keep you from putting your hands on somebody, to keep you from getting engaged with somebody outside of your marriage, to keep you from even, because when it comes to bad marriages, it costs a lot of money, Pastor. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't want to say that, but it costs mm-hmm. when the man and the woman are not on the same page.
Right.
You spend money
right.
because we're being individual,
right.
but we're not working on the same team.
Good.
And God, let me share something with you. God wants you to keep your individuality, but your individuality is to enhance one another when you're on the same team. See, you talked about God earlier. God has a sense of humor. God ain't going to put two loudmouth people in the same marriage. He going to have one that maybe a little bit more quiet, a little bit more reserved. Then he may have one that just can't keep their mouth closed. But it balances out. Everything God does when it comes to marriage, it balances out.
Yeah.
If you just got two loudmouth folks who refusing to listen to each other, I'm not saying
that's not a fit.
Absolutely.
And going back to Genesis,
you may need some serious counseling. Somebody needs to be suitable and adaptable. And I love my sisters, but a lot of our women today, they ain't trying to adapt to nothing or nobody because they're expecting the man to, I'm going to say that, cater to them.
Let me pray for you before you say it, because we don't have the radio station door locked.
I got my taser, Pastor. I want to say this. There is nowhere in the Bible that says happy wife, happy life. I'll say that again. The Bible doesn't say happy wife, happy life. The Bible does tell us to dwell with her according to knowledge. So we have to be knowledgeable. You hear this, man? You have to be knowledgeable of the woman that is in your life. And ladies, scripture is for you too, because you are part of mankind. You got to dwell with your spouse according to knowledge. You have to minister to him and meet his needs. Ladies, I understand a lot of times, and don't stone me for this. A lot of you think that the man should cater to you, but what takes place is when the man is shifted out of his role, then turmoil comes in. Things don't go the way they plan, and then honestly, you end up having a lack of respect for that man.
Hmm.
Man, the word says, "He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord." Now, as a man, your role is to already be walking in your husbandship, if that's a word. If not, it's going to be one today. That means only a husband is looking for a wife.
You preaching better than the choir saying amen, because when you meet a person, I just believe that he needs to be a husband already in
Absolutely.
His mind.
That's where I'm going.
You meet a woman. Go ahead. All right.
You
go ahead.
Okay.
It's good. I don't want to mess your flow up, but I had to jump in there on that one.
And so he should, like I said, should be walking in his husband's role, a husbandship, if that is a word. And so if he's looking for a wife, he's not looking for a boo thing that's on social media, twerking, showing her body, doing all this stuff. He's looking for a Proverbs 31 praying woman, a woman that is taking care of business. A woman that if she doesn't own her own business, she's working diligently. A woman that has a relationship with the Lord. A woman that is a praying woman, okay? If she has children, that guess what? She is being a diligent mother to her children. Mm-hmm. Her children don't run her household. Her children don't get the last word in her household. and her children don't be in grown folks' business.
That's good.
You'll know, like when you come over to visit, and if everybody sitting around looking in your mouth when y'all trying to have conversation, or when family's over, grown folks talking, and the children are sitting there, sitting up under you, then guess what? There needs to be some order that's set in the house. Because when it comes to a godly relationship, we can go back to, into a godly family, we can go back to the book of Proverbs. It tells you to, listen to the instructions of your father and obey the words of your mother. That, guess what? That means there are roles that are already defined when it comes to a godly family, mm-hmm. and a godly marriage. Mm-hmm. Guess what? The father is named first, okay? The mother is second, then come the children. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But the father, guess what? His first connection is with God.
Yeah.
So he can give instructions to the wife and to the children. And guess what? They have to follow suit. And the wife, you come next. Guess what? You have great... Oh, Lord, don't take me too far. Women, you have such great... I have to say that because the Holy Spirit is just dropping nuggets. Women, you are awesome. Your role is to help and support that husband first, but you have such great influence that you not only influence the husband, and you can encourage him, you can make him run through a brick wall, you know, and not feel it because of the words that you've spoken, because of the support and encouragement mm-hmm. that you give him. But at the same time, you have influence over your children. Mm-hmm. See, men have authority and women have influence.
Yeah.
And so when you put authority and influence on the same team, what does the Bible tell you? He says, when two or more, guess what, are gathered,
mm-hmm.
Christ is right there in the midst. When two on the same team, there's nothing that they can't accomplish.
Mm. You said something powerful. And you were talking about how the wife is to, well, let me say this here. I believe that vision is very important.
Absolutely.
Even before you get married. You know, sometimes we need to find out what is a person's vision. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Praise God. Because if you get into marriage, sometimes I believe that, and I'm not picking on women. I love women. But sometimes if you marry a man and he don't have no vision, now you're trying to, you know, how can I say this? Help me, Holy Spirit. Let me say this. Vision is very important. You know, if you sit down with a person at dinner and you begin to ask that person, what do you want to do 5 years from now, 10 years from now, they can't tell you. They can't tell you, well, I want kids and such and such and such. Well, maybe that person doesn't have a vision, and maybe that person is not marriage material.
Absolutely.
Yet. Because I think a lot of times we get in marriage, and this is kind of bouncing. I'm trying to bounce off of what you were saying, because sometimes, you know, there has to be a vision for the family. You should want, as a matter of fact, as a woman, you should want a man that has a vision for the family. Not saying that you shouldn't have your own vision. Help me, Holy Spirit. I'm trying to get this thing out where we can understand this thing, because the people without a vision perish.
That's right.
And so sometimes, and I'm saying, speaking this to the men, that guess what? You know, you need to have a husband's mentality, and along with that husband's mentality, there needs to be a vision for the family. Come on, why? Because if not, guess what? The spouse would be, you know, trying to give you a vision, because guess what? They see that you don't have a vision.
Amen.
for the family. Okay, I'm trying to just get this thing out the way it just came up in my, you know. And so it's very important that, you know, because guess what? If he says he has a vision, and then even if he said he has a vision, and then there's already, because a lot of times when we meet people and, you know, you're sitting there, you're having dinner, it's like, okay, what do you envision yourself for? And then guess what? If he starts talking about kids, or she starts talking, this is a good time to disclose that, guess what? Okay, there's, you know, kids involved and stuff like this. You know, sometimes we need to talk about things. Because, sometimes we don't talk about things. I've been guilty of, not talking about things. And then, later on in the marriage, or later on in the relationship, you find out things, or things are discovered or uncovered, and stuff like this. And so sometimes we are jumping into things before we really getting to know a person and even know if the person has a vision for life, a vision for how they want to serve God. Come on, I just wanted to throw that in there because I was listening to you, and you know, you're just talking about the difficulties and the struggles and why,
yes,
you know, the help, why the person gets out of their lane or out of their
absolutely
role.
Absolutely. Because a lot of times, and I'm going to kind of backpedal because, you know, when the Holy Spirit begins to download, sometimes I get a little jumpy. That's why I
know,
like to have
a note. I
know,
figure out how am I going to say this?
Absolutely. Because I said the man should be walking in his husband's role already, because if you're not a husband, you shouldn't be looking for a wife.
Ooh, that's good.
And ladies, it says he who findeth a wife, not a girlfriend, not a boo thing, not a sugar mama, you got to be walking in your wife's role. You heard me share this. And so, Pastor Tom, you brought something up so key. There should be questions asked, because he may want one kid, you may want five. Mm-hmm. He may want to live in California, you may want to live in Texas. These things are important, mm-hmm, because a lot of times, like I said, we go into marriage with more of an idea of this fairy tale, beautiful wedding, family, friends, and all the time. And then what ends up taking place, reality sets, mm-hmm, in. This joker ain't who I thought he was.
Because you didn't know him. And we jump into marriage without knowing people.
Mm-hmm. And so it's important to get counsel. It's important to get counsel through your leaders, your pastors. It's important to know the word of God for yourself. And I say this all the time. The Bible says, blessed is the man / woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. When it comes to your relationship, and when it comes to you and your spouse or your fiance or whatever it may be, or somebody you dating, especially after you get married, you got to keep mama them out your business. You got to keep papa them out your business. You got to keep sister them out your business, because although they may be saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled and people of God, when it comes to you and how much they love you, they'll let their emotions and flesh get in the way. And they'll give you, because godly people can give ungodly counsel when it does not line up to the word. They can be godly people, but sometimes because of your closeness and your, oh, that's my baby, and ain't nobody gonna treat my baby like that, and you need to pack up your stuff and move. Did God tell you to pack up your stuff and move? Do not allow people, this is why it's important to have a relationship with God, because God will, because of what he's doing and what he knows, because he knows the end from the beginning and beginning from the end, that situation that you think is so harsh and bad right now, it is absolutely nothing. What does the word say? Is there anything too hard for God? Mm-hmm. God has it already worked out, but sometimes he has to let those spots and wrinkles come to the surface so he can iron them out. Mm-hmm. And mama them and papa them, when you put them in your business, guess what? It's going to be hard to get them out, because God done told you, man, forgive that woman, or woman, forgive that man, and y'all back together, lovey-dovey lovebirds, and then it's time for the family reunion, everybody looking at your spouse cockeyed, mm-hmm, because of what you told him that it was not their business. Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand that when it comes to going into a marriage, if you think it's just about you and your spouse, then I'm sorry. If there are kids that are going to be involved, then this is being a foundation that's being set for generations to come. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we be people of God, because according to the book of Genesis, he says everything will reproduce after its own kind. So the foundation has to be set, and we have to be men and women of God to reproduce after our own kind, so that God will get the glory out of our relationships.
Amen.
And families.
Praise the Lord. You know, when you said counseling, and even counseling from your pastor, I had a check in my spirit. I believe that someone's going to be listening to this broadcast, and Amen. The Lord would have you to go to your pastors for counseling,
mm-hmm,
because sometimes we're not yoking up. We're yoking up with people that are, you know, we're being unevenly yoked. And sometimes people got to come up. It's not saying that they're not your spouse, but you don't marry them until they come up. Come on, until there's a balance in the relationship.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll talk about that another time. All right, this is Thomas Robinson of Kingdom Sounds. You've been listening to Kingdom Sounds. Hope you're enjoying the program. Let us know. Come on, we want to stay on this. We want to stay on this radio station and continue to teach you all. But we need to hear from you sometimes and say, hey, you know, I'm learning something. Thank God for you, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's a poor pond that don't. Well, anyways, I won't go all into that. But anyway, so, yeah, reach out to us. Let us know. Anyways, Tom Robb, TOMROB7662@gmail.com This is Victory International Praise Kingdom Sound. It's a radio broadcast of, But anyways, so 250 North Babcock. It's 250 North Babcock. It's the church address. All right, quickly, give your information, Pastor Ray Lyons, and from Pillars Academy, your church address and your school address, real quick.
Okay, school address, 200 Forest Avenue, Cocoa, Florida. That's the Pillar of Hope Academy. Phone number 321-636-5591. And my church home, it's the Greater Faith in Christ Ministries, 966 North Cocoa Boulevard, Cocoa, Florida.
Amen. They're pastoring a church, but they also have a school, kindergarten through 12th grade. That's the Pillar of Hope Academy's telephone number, real quick, for them.
321-636-5591.
All right, praise God. If you got any child that, you know, you're having problems in school, they're Christian-based school. All right, we thank God for Danny, WWBC 99.9, 100.7, and 94.7, reaching across Brevard County. We love you all. Thank you for listening in.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Our Sunday morning service starts at 11 a.m. Tuesday night Bible study starts at 7:30 until 8:30. For more information about our services, the telephone number is 321-358-7455. You have been listening to Kingdom Sounds of Victory International Praise. Our email address is vipministries@att.net. Once again, our church address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful week.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look in an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
Remember the good old days when Valentine's Day was simple? You know, nice cards, maybe flowers, maybe a box of chocolates. These days, there's voices everywhere telling us that we dare not settle for mundane gifts for that special someone. Forget the chocolates and the flowers, says the Today Show. Think creative. Think thoughtful. To help, they offer a top 10 hottest gifts for Valentine's Day. For the guys, maybe a heart-shaped box of beef jerky or maybe a bouquet of salami. No, I'm not kidding. For the ladies, they suggest a pair of Spanx faux leather leggings or bubblegum-colored slip-on sneakers. Couples might gift each other. They suggest a heart-shaped waffle iron or touch bracelet set so that you can send each other digital love messages that vibrate and light up. Attempts to commercialize romantic love, of course, what the Greeks called eros. More on that in just a moment. But that's nothing new. But it's quite clear that in our Valentine's Day traditions, we've lost the history of what was historically a feast day of the church, the feast day of the 3rd century Christian martyr, Valentinus of Rome. While not a lot is known about Valentinus, the most widely accepted version of his martyrdom is that he ran afoul of Emperor Claudius II. Believing that Roman men were unwilling to join the army because of strong attachments to their wives and families, the Emperor Claudius banned marriage. Valentinus defied the emperor by marrying people in secret. He was caught and executed. Whether the story happened exactly that way, every ancient reference to Valentinus associates February 14th with his martyrdom and sacrifice. Romantic love, what C.S. Lewis called eros, is by no means a wrong or sinful expression of humanity. In fact, it's a gift of God. As Lewis wrote in The Four Loves, when rightly ordered, eros causes us to, quote, toss personal happiness aside as a triviality and plant the interest of another in the center of our being. In other words, there is a proper place for eros, not as an end in and of itself, but as a means. Eros points beyond itself, points our hearts beyond ourselves, to a higher love, agape, a love that can only come from God Himself. The imminent season of Lent turns our focus towards that total self-giving love of God.